Yes, the passage is Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13, and it's the New International Version, and that can be found on page 972 of the Church Bibles. The Faith of the Centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant to do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done, just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Bob. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this story of a Roman centurion and Jesus seems so far away from our lives today. We pray that you would come and help us to see how the centurion's faith can speak to us today. And help us through that to strengthen our faith in you. Amen. So, we've been following Matthew's Gospel, heard a lot about Jesus' teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. So, Martin set out the Beatitudes, all those people who were blessed, or as he said, happy. And then Phil talked to us about salt and light and how we can be that to the world. And Andy last week was talking about where your treasure is, so your heart is. This is a very different story. We're no longer hearing about Jesus' teaching. And he'd been followed by crowds before, going up the mountain where he did the teaching. Now he comes back down, and he's followed by crowds again. And Capernaum is the first town that we're told about him entering. And this Roman soldier comes towards him. Just before this passage, there'd been another healing by Jesus, that of a leper. Now, that happened outside the town because lepers weren't able to come into the town, into the communities, because they were kept outside. So, having had one healing, why does Matthew think we need the story of another one immediately after it? There are many instances of Jesus healing someone in the Gospels. So why is this one important? Well, I think there are three reasons why it's important. Firstly, this is a centurion who's asking Jesus to heal someone. This is a Gentile, a non-Jew. Secondly, Jesus heals the centurion's servant at a distance. He didn't need to go and lay his hands on the man. And thirdly, until this time, healings have been done to used to draw the crowds to Jesus. They've been used to tell people about Jesus' ability to bring about wholeness in people. But in this case, Jesus uses the situation to speak to the people about not who he is, but about themselves and their relationship with God. So let's look at the first of these points. This was a centurion, a Roman soldier, who was coming to ask Jesus to heal his servant. This was the first time that a non-Jew, a Gentile, had come to ask Jesus to do something for them. Now, in those days, it was unheard of for a Gentile to ask for help from a Jew. It was even more unheard of that a Jew would actually help a Gentile, as it could raise questions of ritual uncleanliness. Jews were the chosen people who had a special relationship with God, and they kept to strict rules to protect this situation. By getting involved in this situation, Jesus could easily end up not being able to partake in worship or prayer to God for a period of time. So the centurion took a risk in coming to Jesus and asking for help. He was the first Gentile recorded to have faith in Jesus as Lord. He was prepared to break with tradition. His faith took him into a different situation. Even Jesus questions whether he should help the centurion. In verse 7, he said, "Shall I come and heal him?" It was similar to the time when Jesus met a Canaanite woman later in Matthew's gospel, and she asks him to heal her daughter from being possessed by demons. And on this occasion, similarly, he says, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." He was implying that Gentiles weren't able to participate in God's story. The woman points out that even though dogs might not be fed the bread of children, they can eat any crumbs that fall from the table. And at the end of that story, Jesus is impressed by her faith, just as he was impressed by the centurion's faith here. So the centurion was the first Gentile to have faith in Jesus as Lord. He was prepared to break with the traditions. His faith took him and others, including Jesus, out of situations they felt at home in. How about us? Does our faith enable us to go to places that we might not feel comfortable in? Having faith in Christ enables us to see what might be possible out of a situation that we might not have thought of before. I remember one project that I was involved in while I was training for ordination. We went to a parish and had to help with in a task looking at the church's engagement with God's mission. And the church that we went to was in Earlsfield, a part of London where lots of young people live, some with families, but mostly without. It's easily accessible into London. There are many flats, and people worked long hours, coming home only to sleep. And we were asked to look at how the church might change in order to attract more young people. We had one experience of going to the church Christmas fair and talking to a few people about what they might like to see in church, but we weren't really reaching our target audience. Where were they? Well, walking up Garrett Lane in Earlsfield, there wasn't much that we could see to attract a young person. Not many bars. Coffee shops were all full of mums and babies. One place we thought they might be was in the pub. So that's where we went, the halfway house. Three of us went one evening to talk to people in the pub. Now, our experience of the Christmas market suggested that this would be similarly unsuccessful. You know, what young people wanted to talk about church? But at the moment, we'd got little to present on what we did in our project, and we believed God had something to show us. Well, that evening, we had a number of wonderful conversations with people about their faith, how they'd been brought up, and what they felt they were searching for at this point in their life. It was a completely different experience to the one that we were expecting. Now, just like our evening in the pub, you might have experienced a situation when you weren't expecting anything great to happen. Maybe someone was praying for healing, but in the past you'd seen nothing happen in such situations. The difference with someone who has faith is that even if they don't experience something of God in that situation, and that might often be the case, they want to try again. In faith, we look forward in hope because we know the alternative is to be grumpy and fed up that life never seems to be getting any better. And that's what the centurion did. He had faith looking to the future of how the life of his servant might be changed. Faith meant that the centurion in our story trusted in Christ more than he trusted in what had happened in the past. Previously, the Jews had probably avoided him as someone from a different culture, especially when his request was to do with someone who was unwell and that he needed help for. The past has a huge impact on how we think others will react. But when we trust in Christ, maybe we can think more about what he could make happen rather than what other people can make happen. What others think becomes unimportant. We're thinking more about the future and how Christ can influence it. So that was the first remarkable thing about this healing. It was a centurion breaking with tradition, looking to the future with hope and asking Jesus to act. The second thing remarkable about this story was that this healing was done at a distance. Up until this time, anyone who was sick had been brought to Jesus for him to heal. And that was what attracted the crowds to follow him. Maybe they could see another miraculous healing. Maybe they had a friend they were bringing. Wouldn't it be marvelous if he or she could be healed after so many years of suffering? But the centurion didn't bring his servant along with him. I wonder what that was all about. Do you think he didn't want the servant to be seen? Was he too paralyzed? Well, this man could have asked others to have brought his servant if that was important. He tells Jesus that men would go to left, right, and center at his command. So getting his servant to that spot wouldn't have been difficult. But in verse 10, when Jesus hears about this situation, he was amazed. Here was a man who could give orders to many others and get what he was looking for, and yet here he was asking Jesus to heal his servant who he'd left at home. I wonder what it was that amazed Jesus. I don't think it was that the centurion had such power and authority. That wasn't amazing. The centurion was stating facts, and they weren't particularly stunning. Yes, he could order others about, but that was because he'd been given authority to do this. What the centurion was saying was that even though he had all this authority, he couldn't heal his servant and he needed Jesus' help. What Jesus was amazed at was the fact that the centurion thought that Jesus had the authority to make his servant better, and that the centurion thought that he'd be able to do this without needing to touch him and without going to the place where he was. What amazes Jesus is that the centurion could make this analogy between the authority he had, about telling people to go here and there, and the authority that Jesus has from God. This authority isn't just to do good stuff and treat people well. It's to bring the power of God into this world. So the centurion's faith in Jesus was great. How great is your faith in him? Let's just remind ourselves of what it is that Jesus brings. In coming to this earth, he shows us what's possible when we work in the power of the Spirit. But it's not just healing or reaching out to another to bring wholeness that Jesus offers us. Earlier in the service, we sang that new song. We sang of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross for us. And we sang, I believe in the resurrection. That's the part of our faith, our belief, that makes such a difference. In singing those words, we remembered that Jesus rose from the dead. He's conquered death, and sin has no power over him. And as a result of this, he brings us the opportunity to conquer our sin today. Our past doesn't need to have a hold on us, as it does for many people. We can come to God through Christ. We can ask for forgiveness for our sins or for healing, and we can know that we're forgiven, that we can be made whole again. So the centurion hadn't cared about what had been the case in the past. He'd looked to the future with hope, and he'd asked Jesus to act. He'd really believed that Jesus had authority as Lord to perform this healing at a distance. He'd believed that anything was possible. The last thing about the centurion's faith that we can learn from isn't about Jesus or about what he can do for us today, but it's about ourselves. Our faith needs to be personal. Jesus had been followed for some time at this point by a crowd. They'd been listening to all he said. But here, Jesus tells them that it's not enough just to listen to him. In verse 10, he tells them that he hasn't found anyone in all Israel with such great faith as this centurion. But he also tells them something about their own faith, and he doesn't hold back and deliver the message softly to them. One of the big differences between Jews that Jesus was speaking to and the centurion, a Gentile, was that Jews believed that those born into a Jewish family automatically qualified as part of God's chosen people. Their faith was reliant on their family history. But here, Jesus predicts that others, like the centurion, will come along with a fresh faith, and they'll be able to join those founding fathers of the Jewish faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. So, in this new situation, being a Jew no longer qualifies you to be part of this kingdom. Faith has to be personally gained, not inherited. The consequence for those Jews who do nothing about this is drastic. Jesus talks about them being thrown outside the kingdom of heaven, into the darkness, and they're left to weep and gnash their teeth. So Jesus is saying that Gentiles can now gain a place in the kingdom of heaven, and even more radically, he's saying that Jews can lose their place in the kingdom of heaven by not accepting Jesus as the Son of God. Same is true for us today. Traditionally, this country has been Christian, but the proportion of people who say that they have a faith in Christ are declining. Faith is no longer something that we pick up from our parents and is confirmed by others around us who believe. It's something that each person has to work out for themselves. If you're not sure about your own faith, it's vital that you work out how you see Jesus, your Lord and Saviour. And if you're a parent, it's vital that you inspire your children to a life of faith, because it's not automatic that they'll follow you into faith. And it's not about teaching them about Jesus or the Bible, although that is important, but it's also about drawing them close to him so that they can find out for themselves. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. It was all about love, mostly romantic love, but as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, true love is patient. It doesn't come in a rush. It's kind. It makes you think of the other. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. When we love someone, we do all these things. And when we come to know Jesus, we know that he does all these things for each one of us. Once you've had that personal encounter with Jesus, it's easy for you to be able to say, Jesus loves me. But I'm sure you've all had a few life experiences, and you know that getting into a loving relationship with someone, whether as a life partner or as a friend, is really difficult. You may have made a few mistakes along the way, and you might still be thinking there's more to life than the relationships that you have at the moment. It's much harder than turning up to a course and learning about something. And to lead someone else into that kind of relationship is really tricky. But you know what? With our relationship with Jesus, there's one thing that makes this so much easier. You know that the other person, Jesus, loves you. Yes, you might make mistakes. You might miss some of those signs that he's giving you, that he's interested. But he's still there, reaching out with a love that's patient, kind, protective, trusting, and hopeful. And he'll never give up on you. He'll always persevere. You've got a big family here in church as well to help you with this relationship, both for your own journey and that of your children. Being here with others to proclaim your faith is really important. Have you got a personal relationship with Jesus? Have you come here today because you want to meet with him? Although the offer that he makes is made to everybody, the offer is a personal one. It affects individuals in the same way that healing is given. It's given individually. Each person is different, and Jesus will work in your life in a different way to the way he works in mine. But the offer isn't made in private. It's not a contractual thing. It's public, and it's one that he loves us to celebrate. It's like we've got a Valentine's Day every week on a Sunday. So we've seen in this story about the centurion that his faith in Christ was personal. He came to Jesus himself, not sending another. His faith broke with the traditions of the day and was looking forward to the future, to the healing that Christ could bring. And his faith helped him to believe that anything was possible. There was no need for Jesus to come and visit his servant. He trusted in Jesus' power and authority. Is your faith the same? Is it based on a personal relationship with Jesus, looking forward to the future and believing that anything's possible? Jesus has done his talking, his teaching in Matthew's gospel. Now he wants us to respond to his love and acknowledge him as ruler in our lives, recognizing that the power that this gives him is great. We can break with traditions when we recognize this, and we can really experience what he meant when he promised us life in all its fullness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for coming to earth and giving us the opportunity for a personal relationship with you, experiencing life in all its fullness. We pray you would help us through faith to believe all that's possible and more, and to look forward with hope and expectation to that better life that you promise. In Jesus' name, amen.